Okay, welcome everybody. This is Mordechai Plotzker. Welcome to shiurenjoyment.com. Tonight's shiur is dedicated as a refuah shlema to Yehuda Leib ben Rachel, shiur refuah shlema karav mamash. Tonight's shiur is on Parshas Yisro, and we all know that Yisro is symbolic of having the Aseret Dibros contained within, and I'd like to just briefly talk about the Aseret Dibros for just the next few minutes, for 10 minutes. And that is that we know that the amount of words in the Aseret Dibros equal or amount to 172, and there are 620 letters that comprise those 172 words. 620 is quite easy to figure out because 613 plus the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach are the composite in which the Yistakel Baraisa or Bari Alma, as the Zohar Kaddish explains in Parshas Bereishis, that the reason, the whole point of creation was to bring the Torah into this world. The Torah is the blueprint of the world. And so later on in Parshas Truma, for example, when we have the assembling and reassembling of the Mishkan, the construction and reconstruction as we travel through the desert, different journeys, different destinations, that too was a manifestation of the creation of the world, because every time we took apart the Mishkan and put it back together again, in a way, the world was created anew, because this was where HaKadosh Baruch Hu would reside, in this Mishkan. V'yasu l'mikdash v'shachanti b'socham. And the Ibn Ezra over there in Parshas Truma explains that, being the rationalist, and similar to like a Wi-Fi connection, Moshe Rabbeinu did not have to go to Har Sinai in order to receive the nevuah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem made it easy. He gave us a roaming profile where we were able to connect wherever the Mishkan was found. And that was a chesed that Hashem provided to the Jewish people, so we were always in constant communication with Hashem. And nowadays, when we have all of this technology, it actually makes us feel a little bit more or acutely aware of what it must have been like or felt like to have that comfort of having the means, or so to speak, the technology in those days by which to communicate directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the 620 is easy to digest. The 172, however, requires us to think a little bit further. Shamay Omrim, Asei Torascha Keva. We should set aside time for learning. Keva means a set time. Keva is also 172. We have a Kuf, Beis, Ayin, and that equals 172. We also know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avram Avinu, the reason why he selected Avram is because Akev, Asher Shemata B'Koli, you listen, you hearken to my voice. Akev is the same letters as Keva, and that too is 172. Ayin, Kuf, Vez, Akev. We also have later on where it says, V'haya Akev Tishmun, and you should listen, says Rashi in Parshas Akev, that David HaMelech was concerned not about the major mitzvahs that he might have overridden, but rather on the small ones, Dash Ba'akvav, as Rashi says, that he was worried that the small mitzvahs were things he did not pay attention to, and for that reason alone, he was concerned that he might be punished, or that he might fail in his pursuit of godliness and bringing himself that much closer, as we all desire, to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when we think about the word 100, when we think about the word, the number 172, Keva, Akev, we start to get a little bit of a picture as to how HaKadosh Baruch Hu designed these Aseret HaDibros, because as Chazal say, the Aseret HaDibros, the 10, are really a composite of the 603 that surround them. And so the Ramban goes one step further and says that we have 10 mitzvos that are symbolic of all 613. And if we take a look at the last mitzvah of the Aseret HaDibros, Lo Sachmod, you should not be jealous, that is the kolel of the prior 9. So within 10, you have 603, and among those 10, there is one that is composite of the entire Torah itself. And so there, the Ramban goes into a very lengthy discussion, which I'd like to try to explore tonight for the next few minutes, to give us a better appreciation as to what it means not to be jealous and how jealousy is formed. We know that there is a time when we are allowed to be jealous, that we say, Kina sofer mar b'chochma, that it's the reason why we're allowed to be jealous, there's only one time, and that is when people are more intelligent than we are. We're allowed to be jealous of people that are learned, because the desire of every individual is to continuously learn and grow. And hence, we go back to the word akev, which also means heel. Heel means that we're not at the rosh. The heel of an ankle, as Yaakov is said to represent the Knesset Yisrael, Beis Yaakov, the Jewish people themselves. Whenever we accomplish or study or complete a book, we not only say Hajj and Allah, that we will return to you this book, but that we are now pursuing additional books. And if you ever walk into a library and you saw all of the beautiful books there, you would say, this is overwhelming. There's no way I'm going to be able to read all of these books. And so we would be happy calling a big party. We finish the book, and then we put it to rest, and then we binge watch all of the episodes and seasons of different types of shows out there that pique our interest, because you know what? We accomplished this, and now we can move on to something else. Not the way the Jewish people think and operate. We actually look around a place of learning, and then we say, there's so much more for me to learn, and I'm excited about the opportunity by which I can do so. So that is how the world goes round, because we are allowed to be jealous of those that are more learned than us, and we emulate and we aspire to be just like them. So now, if we take this discussion and we say, wait a minute, there are instances in the Torah where we see the word jealousy is found. For example, it says, Vatzakana Rachel ba'achosa, that Rachel was jealous of her sister. We see that by Pinchas, for example, it says that Bekanoas Kinesi b'socham v'lukilisis b'nei Yisrael b'kinasi. There are two times that Pasuk has the word kina within it. That Pinchas, as they translate Pinchas as being a zealot, and Bekanoas Kinesi, that he assuaged my anger, the Lokilisi, and I didn't destroy my Jewish people, God forbid, as a result of this kina. And then we have, even in the Aseret Dibros, we find the word kelkana, that God is, so to speak, jealous. And the question is, how in the world could God be jealous? And how in the world, if we even take it down to mortal level, why would, or how would Rachel be jealous of Leah? And how is Pinchas going to be jealous, or what is he really doing? Is he acting on jealousy or something else? This is probably a deeper discussion, but I think it's really important to go into this a little bit so that we can try to understand the thinking that the Torah is giving us and how to behave, how we should think. So the first is, Vatzakana Rachel ba'achosa does not mean that she was jealous of her sister. It rather means that she saw in her sister certain elements of tzidkus, certain elements of righteous behavior that enabled her to have the merit of bringing four children into the world, and she herself was barren and unable to give children or to bring children into the world. And so we say, Rachel was a tzaddikus. She is the person who we cry to, who knows how to cry, because look what she gave up for her sister. She gave up everything, not just the simanim before the wedding night, but also she gave up the eternal resting place where she will reside, as she's on a dirt road in Beit Lechem where many Jewish people come and visit, because Rachel understands the pain of every single Jewish person. She herself lived through that pain, and eternally she experiences that pain being separated from her beloved Yaakov, who loved her so much. She gave all that up so that Leah should be next to Yaakov. And yet we find that she not only judged her sister favorably, she was never jealous of her. She sought to find out what exactly those merits could be so that she could hopefully emulate them as well, and as a result, bridge or take on some of those elements of righteousness that her sister clearly has, so that she should be meritorious in bringing children into the world. That is how Rachel viewed her sister, not through the lens of jealousy, but rather through the lens of proper judgment. And 9 times out of 10, frankly speaking, it's very easy for people to fall prey when they see someone behaving a certain way and say, you know what, that's it, I'm done. I'm not even going to think about it anymore. I'm writing this person off. But that's not the way Rachel looked at the situation. The challenge is to rise above the simple write-off of jealousy and rather judge someone favorably. As the Torah says, "Bederach she'adam modeid modedin lo," in Psachim Ches, that the way in which we judge others is the way we are judged. And hence, before Yom Kippur, we say, "Shoftim v'shotim titein lacha," says the Kedushas Levi, the holy defender of the Jewish people. You really want to know what your year is going to look like? Do you really want to know what the Yom HaDin will be for you? I have given over all of those judgment calls to you yourself. You will decide how that year will be. Why? Because Shoftim, the Shochin, the Din, the Emes, the Cheshbon, HaNefesh, all has been given over. Shoftim, the Shochin, Titein, Lecha. I give it over to you. And B'derech Shodem Modeid, Modedin Lo. The way in which you judge others is the way you will be judged. If you're able to rise above this challenge and judge people favorably and not to fall prey to jealousy, then you will see that that is the same way HaKadosh Baruch Hu will judge you. And God forbid the opposite. So therefore, we're always willing, ready, willing, and able during Yom HaDin season to do this. But this is not just something limited to that time and space. It really covers the entire year itself. We're nearly 6 months away from Yom HaDin, and we're not really thinking about Yom HaDin, but we're always in that mindset of interactions with people and how to improve those relationships, and the best way to do so is to look at people in a favorable manner. Then we turn to Pinchas and we say, what did Pinchas do, and how is it that he received the Bris Yishol Shalom? Because Pinchas judged the situation in the same way in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu had judged it. And instead of saying, I don't want to have anything to do with this situation, Pinchas took it upon himself to correct it. And the reason why it was so necessary for Pinchas to do so, because Heishiv Es Hamasi, he retracted the anger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu at that particular moment when Zimri and Cusbi were leading a revolt in the manner in which they had practiced. The word Hamasi is comprised of 4 letters, explains the Vilna Gaon, Ches, Mem, Tav, Yud. And if we look at those letters, we see that the Chaim is on the outside and the Mace is close together. Heishiv Es Hamasi means that he separated the letters Mem and Tav, which spell Mace or death, and he inverted them. Heishiv, he retracted the Hamasi. He reversed the anger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Kanoas Kinesi Besocham, by acting in a form of judgment, not jealousy of what they're doing and saying, oh, so they're doing it, I'm jealous, I want to do the same thing as what they're doing, knowing full right and well that it is improper and incorrect, but rather Pinchas stood up to the challenge and he corrected it in a proper judgment. And that judgment was in sync with what HaKadosh Baruch Hu desired for that particular moment. Because there's one thing HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not tolerate easily, and that is immorality. We know that whereas Bilaam was unable to say things negative against the Jewish people, why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu, in his judgment, he created every Pesach of the Jewish home should not open up into the Pesach of another Jewish home. Why is that necessary? So that we shouldn't have lo sachmod. We should not have jealousy. If you look into someone else's house, you see the chandelier is different than yours, you see they drive a different car, and you're jealous of this person's possessions and his house and his wife and all of these things, then what do? You end up getting angry. If you're angry, then when it comes time for Kabed Es Avicha V'Atzimecha, how is it that you're going to fulfill that mandate? Here's your food, father, mother, eat it, leave me alone, I'm not in a good mood, I'm jealous of the guy next door. So you're not able. That's not a way to fulfill Kibud Avim. It's not the proper way. That actually is counter to Kibud Avim. It's not just simply to prepare the meal and then dump it on their plate and say on the table and say eat and leave me alone. But rather, what else can I do for you? How can I help? How can I make things easier for you? What can I do in order to demonstrate greater levels of Kibud? the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu is that he precluded all of us from falling prey to this ominous situation where we would be speaking poorly about each other. And so therefore, Bilam said, Matov alecha Yaakov, Mishkan Secha Yisrael, I am unable to speak poorly about them because they don't speak poorly about one another. And if that's the case, the bracha is shruya, and we are protected. And that is the ultimate. When it says, Kel Kanav and Nokem, we ask Hashem, what is it that you're jealous? No, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this goes back to the same midah of Pinchas, that there are instances and times when HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to exact judgment. And that judgment it could be manifest in many different forms. It could also be manifest in a positive frame. And that's hopefully what we always ask for, that the din should always be sweetened, if in fact it has to be din. But we always seek to invoke and to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to remind HaKadosh Baruch Hu of the words of Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachum V'chanun, Erech HaPayim, Rav Chesra V'emes, Netzach Chesra La'alachim, V'siyazim V'fasha V'chatov V'nakei, that we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to provide mercy for his subjects, all of whom recognize the Borei Olam, the creator, the master of the universe, as being the supreme commander of the world. And so therefore, what we are asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that if you have to give judgment, let it be sweetened. But let's always try to operate under a realm of mercy, of rahmanas, of the Shem Havaya, of the Yud Kei Vav Kei itself, which is the midah of rahman, and not din. And so we see when we look at all of this and we look at the composite, how the Ramban prefaces and brings out this element of losachmod. This element of losachmod really can be translated into all these other things. Lo yelacha lokim achirim al ponai, the first or the second. Anochi Hashem lokechash. Remember who I am. Don't be jealous of what was. Don't think about the past. Think about the future. And there shouldn't be any other gods in front of you. And if you bring this message of the Ramban, you will see how nicely it translates into all of the Aseres Adibros of those that preceded, the nine that preceded. So if we are able to losachmod, if we're able to live up to this mandate, then we will never be jealous of the physical possessions of another. And jealousy, if untamed, could lead to murder. And lo tirtzach is there. Why would it be necessary to tell us lo tirtzach? We already know these are mitzvos sichlios. But lo tirtzach is something that evolves from the understanding of a violation of losachmod. And so if we're careful with losachmod, then God willing, we will never have to face issues and predicaments of things that we already know that are mitzvos sichlios, such as lo tirtzach and others. Lo sigzol. Why is it that person steals? Because he's jealous. Again, all of these things go into the whole concept of losachmod. We should rather try to invoke that kinas svarim marba chachma, that we should always be striving to learn and accomplish more. And asei taras hakeva, which is a beautiful thing we have here in the Shir every single night, thanks to Ari Perlman and Jake Wyman. We have beautiful Magide Shir that just give us a beautiful proliferation of Divrei Torah on a nightly basis for 10 minutes every night. Granted, I think I went over my time, but I wanted to really just bring out this wonderful message of Asei Torah Sakeva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't ask us to be learning 24/7, but rather to set aside some time. So later on, when we think about the Mishkan, V'yasu l'mitash v'shachanti b'socham, we are dwelling in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's house when we set aside that time, and when we use that time for a positive, constructive purpose, in the same way that Bezalel and Moshe joined together to build and reconstruct and to build the Mishkan, so that the manifest of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence will always be present. This is Mordechai Plotzke wishing you Hatzlacha and Bracha, and Yehuda Leib ben Rachel Shehar Refuah Shleim B'Karav Mamash. We thank everyone for listening in, and God willing, Bezalel Hashem, I'll be back next Sunday night. Have a good night.